I want to touch on a sensitive subject this morning. More sensitive than perhaps than some will be comfortable with. But an important one nonetheless. So here we go. I want to talk to you about a word. A word that used to be used quite often, but now has become almost taboo. It's sometimes referred to as the N word. As a child growing up, many of you probably heard the word quite often. Maybe even heard it from parents or grandparents, or perhaps heard others use it toward you. Maybe you have friends that use this word at times. It used to be a very common word. Some of you sitting here, in fact, I dare say most of you, if not all of you, have used it. Don't pretend you haven't. But times change. And using the N-word now, in today's society, will get you branded old-fashioned, out of touch, politically incorrect, even bigoted, closed-minded, and hateful. It's a word we used to hear a lot, but now it's become almost a curse word. But I think it's a word we need to start using again. The word is no. Not the N-word you were thinking of, was it? You know, that word no isn't used as much as it used to be used. Nowadays, parents are afraid to say that word to their children. They always give in. We're afraid to say that word to ourselves. We're afraid to say that word to anyone about anything. It's always got to be yes, 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 all the time. But we need to learn to say no. The scripture that was read for us from James chapter 5, and I know he's talking here about swearing, but what I want us to notice here is he does say you need to make up your mind. If you're going to be yes, say yes, then say yes, and then follow through with it. If you're going to say no, then say no and follow through with it. You need to be a person of your word. And there are times to say no and make it stick. One of the worst things that parents do for their children or to their children is to say no and then give in and give it to them anyway after they've said no. We teach children by doing that that no doesn't really mean no. It just means bug me a little bit longer and I'll give in to whatever you want. And they carry from that the idea that the same thing is true with God. That when God says no, don't do something, that if they'll just keep pushing, they'll get away with it anyway. We tell them, no, don't do that. If you do that again, you're going to be punished. And then they do it again, and nothing happens. Then they learn that authority doesn't really mean anything. And so when the law of the land says, don't steal or don't kill or don't do this or don't do that, they are shocked when they find the policeman arresting them for doing those things because they never got punished for doing things they were told not to before. And when, at the end of time, they face God in judgment, they won't know how to handle that because they will have thought all their lives that it was okay to go ahead and do it anyway, even when they were told no. Unfortunately, of course, even perhaps as bad as that are those who just never do say no. Anything goes. Whatever makes you happy, do it. And that's a horrible way for someone to live life. No self-control, no self-discipline. No one ever telling them that there are consequences to those actions that they take. I want to look at some times that we need to say no. We need to say no to children. And yet sometimes, under certain circumstances, even to other people's children. You know, it's one thing for a parent to let a child behave any way they want to let them behave in their own home. But when they come to visit us in our homes, we have rules for our home. And they need to learn to respect other people's rules. If they're unwilling to learn that, and their parents are unwilling to enforce that, then perhaps those parents need to learn that that's not acceptable behavior, and they're not welcome to do certain things or come certain places under those circumstances. Colossians 3:21 tells fathers not to exasperate their children, not to just get them all frustrated and stirred up. And it says that doing that, they could become discouraged. And some people have taken this verse and they've said, well, see, what that means is that if I tell my child no, then they're going to get upset and they're going to get discouraged and they'll never do it and they'll never be able to accomplish anything. And they'll always feel like they're mistreated. And that's not the case, and that's not what that verse is teaching us. The verse is trying to teach us not to be unreasonable in the things that we say yes or no about. Not to be unreasonable in our discipline. We don't punish a child because of an accident. We would never abuse a child regardless of the wrong that they had done. Those are the things that this passage talks about. It's not talking about good discipline. It's not talking about teaching children right from wrong. It's not talking about telling a child no, that there are some limits that they can't cross. That's not what he's saying when he says they'll get discouraged and you'll get them frustrated and exasperated and all of these things. That's not what he's talking about. But people try to take that verse and say, well, see, I just got to let them do whatever they want. You know, parenting is a job that has to be worked at. Several verses in Proverbs 19:18, 22:15, 23:13, 29:15, and 17 all talk about raising those children, and it talks about different aspects of that. It talks about the discipline and how important the discipline of a child is. I'm afraid that we're living in a society today where if the children are not gotten control of soon, it's going to be a disaster if it's not already too late. It started with my generation. The children whose parents had been strict with them decided, I'm not going to be so strict on my children. I'm not going to be mean to them the way my parents were mean to me. Along with that came the philosophies of Dr. Spock and some others. And I think Dr. Spock gets a bad rap to some degree. Some of the things in his book are not as lenient as some would make them out to be. But there were many that came along in the 60s and early 70s that came along pushing this idea of let the children, you know, you gotta let them express themselves. You gotta let them be free to be who they are and on with all these things. And it was at that point that spanking started to be quietly discouraged. And people said, "Well, you shouldn't spank those children. That's going to damage them psychologically." And all of these things began to be whispered. And it's only spread and gotten worse since then. But because of that, many, my age and younger, have grown up thinking that they can do whatever they want to do and they can get away with it. And that it doesn't matter what they do and that there are no consequences for it. But we've got to say no to children. They've got to learn that there are some things that are good to do and okay to do, and that there are some things that are wrong and are forbidden and should not be done under any circumstances. They have to learn those things. But more important than just saying no to children, children need to be taught about the Lord. As Christian parents, of course, it's our responsibility to raise our children in the Lord. Proverbs 22:6 says, "If you train up a child in the way he should go when he is old, he will not depart from it." But so many times we're so busy with other things in this life that we don't have time for the children. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the fathers are not to provoke their children to wrath, but instead they're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that involves correction. That involves discipline. Not just letting them do their own thing. So yes, we need to say no to children. We need to be out there teaching children the N-word. They need to know it. They need to know what it means. And they need to know that when it's said, it's serious. So many parents will just say no to a child when they don't mean it. And then that young boy who grows up having been told no by his mama, and it never meant no. It never meant anything. He gets out on a date with a young lady and she tells him no, and he knows that doesn't mean no. It just means that he's going to go ahead and do what he wants to do anyway. And he forces her. Because no doesn't mean anything to him. And then later, someone does tell him no, and he gets so angry at them when they refuse to let him have what he wants that he kills them. And the police come and they arrest him, and he fights against them because no didn't really mean no. He had the right to do what he wanted to do. And he winds up in prison. Where no still didn't mean no, because he gets a lawyer to challenge and challenge and challenge his conviction over and over again until finally he'll find a judge that will understand him and know that no didn't really mean no. If, of course, he's unfortunate enough not to find that judge, then he winds up perhaps on death row. He winds up perhaps even executed for his crime of murder. But he still has never learned. He goes to that death thinking the world is unfair and they were mean to me and I didn't deserve this. No is an important word and it needs to be learned early. We need to say no to time thieves. You know, there are a lot of things in this life that steal our time. Time that could be better spent at something else. So we've been in some studies. I've noticed one thing that has come to my attention that I never really thought about a lot before. And that's this. Anytime you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're actually committing, in essence, two sins. Because the good thing you should be doing isn't getting done. And in its place, you're doing something else that doesn't need to be being done. So we often, when we fail to do what we should, we do something we should not. And we thus commit two sins. failure to obey and disobedience. Time is precious. It's unlike any other commodity that we have. You can have problems in a relationship and that can be restored. You can lose money and you can gain it back. You can lose possessions and they can be replaced. You can lose a loved one to death and hope to see them again in the next life. But time is something that we only get 1 second at a time. And when that second's gone, there's nothing we can do to change it. There are hundreds probably of books and movies that have been made about time travel and trying to go back in the past and correct a mistake. Why do you think it is that people are so interested in that? It's because they can't do it. You can't say, well, you know, I've got an extra hour today that I don't have anything planned, so, you know, I'm going to take that hour and I'm going to put it in my time bank here and save it for next Thursday when I know I'm going to need an extra hour. It doesn't work that way. You can't do that. We get 1 second, and then it's gone, and we get another second. And then that one's gone. And every day, we will have spent them one way or another. Have we spent them wisely? Or have we allowed someone or something to rob us of some of those seconds and minutes and even hours that are so precious? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 and 16, Paul talks about this very thing. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We've got to redeem our time. We've got to make good use of it. We've got to make sure that entertainment and recreation don't take too large of a portion of our time. Oh, we all need some recreation, some relaxation, a vacation or some sort of entertainment from time to time. We do need those things. But as we talked about in our Bible class this morning, that can't be our focus. That can't be what it's all about. And I'm afraid that our society pushes that so much that they forget about the other useful things that we should be doing with our time. People will skip work to go to some entertainment and call in sick so they can skip a day of work to go be entertained or have recreation. And then later, what's going to happen when they actually are sick and they've used up all of their sick days when they weren't sick? There are a lot of things like that people do. But we allow, sometimes we'll sit down and say, well, I'm just going to watch a couple of minutes of this show just to see what it's about. And an hour and a half later, I say, whew, where did the time go? How did that? I didn't realize it was getting so late. I wanted to do this or I wanted to do that, and I've been sitting here for an hour and a half and didn't get anything done. Now, we've all been there. But I don't know what happened to it, and the time was gone. On the other hand, we can, of course, get involved in certain works that could be and perhaps are good things in and of themselves, but we get so overworked into those things that it steals time that we could be using for other good activities. One preacher once commented that while the Bible does tell us to pray without ceasing, there are other activities that a Christian should be engaged in. And if we just simply, from sunup to sundown, sat and prayed and didn't do anything else, we'd be missing out on doing a lot of the things that God wants us to do. We've got to watch out for time thieves, laziness, overworking. Those are two opposite extremes, but both of those things can cause us to lose out on time that we could have. And of course, entertainment, recreation. Sometimes certain people can be time thieves. Have you ever met one of those people who you just couldn't get away from? And you had other things, other people you needed to see or other things you needed to do that were important. But this person thought that because they were more important than everybody else, that they could take all of your time. And sometimes it's a case of a missed appointment. You know, some of us are guilty of stealing time from God because we're scheduled to come to church and we don't show up. And we only hear for half or for a portion. We're missing these things that are important, but we're also stealing time that should have been given to God and using it for something else. Whether it was because we slept in or just because we drug around getting breakfast or whatever the case may be, we've got to watch out for that. Because a certain portion of our time is to be used for the Lord. The third thing that we need to say no to is temptation and sin. We need to say no to Satan when he attacks us. And we need to let our yes be yes, and in this case, we need to let our no be no. We don't need to let Satan worm his way in and convince us that, well, okay, this one time. But next time, I really mean it. That's the problem Eve had. She said, no, we're not supposed to eat of the fruit of that tree. God said it, we shouldn't eat it or we'll die. But she didn't let her no be no. She allowed Satan to keep talking and keep twisting and keep convincing until she finally gave in. We've got to say no to addictions. All kinds of addictions. Alcohol, tobacco, drugs, pornography, sexual sin, overeating, overspending, laziness, you name it. There, anything that's out there somebody could become addicted to. Gambling, television, sports, you name it. People get addicted to it. And they can't stop. We've got to say no to those things. We've got to overcome those things in our lives. The key to overcoming sin is saying no to temptation, facing them one at a time. We first got to know what sin is. And once we know what the sin is, and we know the way that Satan uses, the tactics that he uses to tempt us in that area, then when we recognize one of those tactics, we recognize one of those temptations, we've got to say no. James 4:7 tells us that if we will submit to God, that will help. Our problem is, each and every day, many times, we're trying to decide. Because we don't want to submit all the way to God, but we don't want to submit all the way to the devil, so we want to pick and choose, and I'll submit to God in this area, but I'll let the devil win over here. And we think, by doing that, that we're in control. We're wrong. If we submit ourselves to the devil, he's in control. God does not allow partial control. He won't share control of your life with you or with the devil or with anyone else. If he's not 100% in control, he's not even in the car. Either he's driving or he's not riding. Now you see those bumper stickers, God is my co-pilot. Oh no, he's not. He will not be a co-pilot. He is a solo pilot. Either he's in control, or he's not going for the ride. You're on your own. We need to submit to God and resist the devil. We need to protect ourselves from temptation. We know certain situations that are tempting. We need to avoid them. We need to say no to certain people. When we get around certain people, we know that they're going to lead us into temptation. We've got to learn to say no to them. Say no when we're invited to go somewhere with them. They say, oh, well, come go with me. So we know what's going to happen when we get there. Say no. Just don't go. Ephesians 6:13 tells us that we need to put on the full armor of God to be able to resist. And then we'll be able to stand. We've got that full armor on. We've got to overcome that temptation. And some of the ways that we do that is by not putting ourselves in a situation to be tempted. You know, an alcoholic that's going to go to the bar so he can eat peanuts and talk to his friends. No, he's going to wind up drunk. He's going to be drinking. That's what's going to happen if he goes to the bar. If he wants peanuts, he needs to go to the grocery store and buy him a can of peanuts. If he wants companionship and he wants to talk to somebody, then he needs to find somebody who's not down at the bar drinking to talk to. He needs to find somebody else, somebody that's got a better standard of life to be talking to. Not those people that are going to do the same things that he does. We need to find other things to focus on. Philippians 4:8 tells us that if we'll look at what's true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and virtuous and all of those things, that'll take our focus off of the sinful things. We, of course, have to study God's Word in order to do that. We've got to work on our self-control. In other words, we've got to be able to tell ourselves no. And that's the hardest one. I can tell the telemarketer no when they call and hang up the phone. I can tell the stranger that comes to my door selling something no and shut the door and let them go on about their business. But when I want something, when my sinful fleshly desire is to have it, can I say no to myself? There's a reason that we use the term exercise self-control. Because it is something that needs to be exercised. It needs to be practiced. Self-control, and here's the problem. Most of us never try to say no to ourselves until we run up on a temptation. And then we're like, oh, I can't do it. We need to practice saying no to ourselves when it doesn't matter. If I've got a problem with overeating or with eating the wrong thing, then sometimes I need to say no to myself at a time when it really doesn't matter. I need to restrict myself. If I've got a problem with something, then I've got to say no to myself sometimes when really I thought, well, that, it doesn't matter, I could buy that. But I've got to say no to myself at that time and practice saying no when it's something that I'm not really, really wanting so badly. So that when the time comes when I really am tempted strongly, I'll have the strength to resist. Think about weightlifting. No weightlifter ever starts out by lifting the 500 pounds. They don't start there. Of course not. They'd break bones and tear muscles if they tried to do that. They start out with the light weight. And then they get stronger and put more weight on and get stronger and put more weight and get stronger and stronger. And then eventually, if they continue to exercise that, then they can do the 500 pounds or whatever it is. Because they've gotten stronger and stronger. But sometimes we think, I don't need to, oh no, okay, well, you know, when I run up on a situation, then I'll handle it. No, we won't. We won't be ready to handle it then. We have to practice, we have to exercise ourselves spiritually to gain spiritual strength to resist. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And we need to practice doing that every day. You can start today by thinking about something that you kind of wanted to do today and say, you know what? No. I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to do something else instead. And then practice again tomorrow with something else. You know, I was kind of thinking about, but you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to do this. And work at it. And work yourself up to the point that you'll be able to handle the strong temptations and say no to them. We need to pray, of course. Prayer is powerful. Jesus teaching His disciples to pray in Luke 11, 4, had taught them to pray, "Do not lead us into temptation." Don't bring us into temptation. We need to pray. But then, of course, we need to have knowledge and we need to know that we can resist. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man." It's not that we're tempted so much more than everybody else. We face the same kinds of temptations. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. And with the temptation, He will provide a way of escape. The problem is we don't look for the way of escape most of the time. We're running headlong toward the sin. And He could have a big neon sign right over here that says, "Exit, escape this way," and we wouldn't even pay it any attention because we're looking straight ahead, not even looking for the escape. Even with all of that, it may be extremely difficult. Hebrews 12:4, the Hebrew writer tells those Christians, "In struggling against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." He indicated that might be a possibility, that they might have to actually resist to the point of shedding blood. We won't even resist sin to the point of discomfort. What would we do if there were actually a chance of real persecution, of real physical danger and harm coming to us? Would we be able to resist then? Some of those in the first century had to resist the temptation to deny Christ under the threat of death, and some of them died. They were fed to the lions. They were burned. They were stoned. They were crucified. They were killed in all sorts of horrible ways because they wouldn't give in to sin. But it may be extremely difficult. We need to remember that we're not alone. These same temptations, the same trials, the same struggles are being performed in our brethren throughout the world. But we've got to start using the N-word again. With our children, with time thieves, but first and foremost, most importantly, with ourselves. Of course, no is not the only word in the Christian vocabulary. James 5:12 says, "Let your yes be yes and your no, no." We need to say yes to some things. We need to say no to the bad and keep the bad out, but we need to put the good in. We need to say yes to it. We need to say yes to following Christ. We need to say yes to being obedient to His commands. We need to say yes to becoming a Christian if we are not. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to become one. You will never overcome temptation on your own. You cannot do it alone. If you're here and you need to become a Christian, you can do that by believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, by repenting of your sins, confessing Him as the Christ, and being buried with Him in baptism to rise to walk a new life. If you're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you haven't been saying the N-word to the right people or to yourself at the right times, you may need to repent of that and start practicing doing better. It's really a simple word. It's only two little letters. It's not hard to say at all. It's just hard to say it and mean it and stick to it when you do say it. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.